Please go ahead.
Hi.
Yes.
How you doing? It's Dave from Atlantic City.
Hey, Steve. How are you, man?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Hi. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Ruth, Minnesota.
Hi, Ruth. Welcome back. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
All right. Thank you for being here. And in the meantime, I think we are live on BBS, so I want to welcome all those who are listening to this call through BBS Radio. And for now, we wait for more people to join us on the conference call. Vin is going to be back here in just a moment. He was here a few minutes ago. Don or Duck at BBS, if you can hear me, we cannot hear the music on the call. Thank you. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Susan in Delaware.
Good evening, Susan. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks for being here. We hear Daphne playing the harp in the background. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Cindy in Virginia.
Good evening, Cindy. Oh. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Joanne, El Paso.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You know what? We just passed the sign. El Paso yesterday. We were in Tucson, Arizona, and apparently the highway, the 10 freeway goes from Tucson to El Paso. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Goes all the way out to Memphis.
Yeah, to Memphis. They didn't say Memphis from Tucson, they just said El Paso. I was surprised that that was probably the next city. Oh, well.
Well, thank you, Vin, for being here. There might be people who wonder who this guy is, but this is Vin. He sounds a little haze. And, Vin, I think we're live on BBS.
Hello, Jerry. Are you?
Yeah.
We're gonna mute you all. As you can probably hear, I'm not in my normal voice today. I'm still in.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 15th, 2012. This is Winfrey in Arizona. with Terry Brown in Sedona. And we have a few bugs that we are coming along for the ride. We did, some of you heard us at the Conscious Life Expo last week, and we overdid it. Ever since then, we have been having a flu, and stuffy noses and temperature. And I want you guys to know that even the Elohim doesn't heal us on demand, because we tried. So when we get sick, we never know. Although there have been some strange phenomena, which I'll tell you about at another time. Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
Yeah.
Terry, why doesn't the Elohim heal us on demand? Now, thank you, Don, for sitting in. Don, you could shut the music off if you want. Thank you. We're into our show. I guess we're starting slightly early. So, I decided to play a rerun today. You know, we have so many great guest calls. Some of them, I don't think, is it overdue. You know Don's number over there?
Unmuted.
There we go.
Muted.
Hope you did it. So that'll cut the flute off. So I did a replay today from last April. And those of you who were on that line know that it was an incredible call. But, you know, we do these calls and we start a line of questioning, and we don't know where we're going to go. Where it's going to end up. And the topic was crop circles. And I picked a crop circle that had a picture of a gray. I assume all of you know what crop circles are. But if not, there are these strange, perfectly symmetrical designs, very sophisticated designs, that appear in England and in other places, but mostly in England. And apparently, they appear overnight, and many people think they're being made by ETs. And we actually found out who was making crop circles on this call. And this was an intense call. We actually had to cut it short because there were some ambient influences coming in on the call. And I thought that you might learn something by feeling how the energies feel of ambient influences. So we're going to see what time is it. We've got plenty of time here. It's 47 minutes is this tape. And Terry, anything you want to say about this particular call?
No.
As you can hear, Terry is stuffed up, too. So we'll call us the Flu Brothers. We're going to start the call. I hope this sounds clear. If you're listening on BBS, you know, this playing of replays is, we did it last week and it didn't come out well. So we're going to try something else today, a different way of playing it. And I tested it, and I think it will come out well. But email me and let me know how the quality actually sounds. And Here we go.
Okay, we are being recorded, and this is Monday, April 16th, 2012, Winfrey and Terry Brown in Sedona, Arizona, and we have a conference line of people on, and we'll let them just all say hello. Let me unmute them.
Callers are unmuted.
Are you guys there?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello, everybody.
That's not a special effect.
Hi.
I'd rather meet everybody. You guys. Okay, everyone's unmuted now. And so we were talking about how amazing it is to have this voice talking to you. It says they created the physical universe. Actually, we have a conglomerate of two voices that have teamed up. And that is one group soul that was the original creation of the realm. Another group soul that is made up of entities that went through a series of incarnations here and graduated. In other words, got off the wheel of reincarnation. And they act as a huge team helping planets at lower levels of evolution like ours. And so, in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce was channeling the group soul of graduates, if I have it correct. And we are channeling the group soul of the creators and the group soul of graduates together. And that's a lot to believe, isn't it? So don't believe it. Just consider the possibilities. One of the things that I had to learn in putting this out was, even if I came to the conclusion it was true, it was not me to tell you to believe it, because I think it's true. It's something that you have to get your own resonance with, and we give you plenty of opportunity to do that. We do 3 conference calls a week, and if you're not on all our calls and you want the schedule, to send an email to winfrey@gmail.com. Or you can actually go on the internet, conference.messageaday.net, and we have the schedule there. And one of the cool things about listening to these calls regularly is that the world's going through a lot of shifts right now, in case you haven't noticed. And there are a lot of opportunities to be fearful, to be alienated, to be separated. And on these calls, there's an energy that comes in from higher dimensions. I believe it does. The only way I can explain it, that gives you a sense of connection and continuity and support through this shift our planet's going through. And that's really important. Because as we've come to understand, there's a division of souls taking place, and some are graduating and some are repeating, and people are making those choices, but they don't know they're making it. But nonetheless, that's the way it seems to work. And so, just connecting with a positive energy, getting rid of your fear are 2 things which will greatly enhance the potentials of graduating this realm during this lifetime. Now, if you don't know what that means, if you haven't read my book, there's a free book you can download, creatorgodbook.com, and please read it, because half the book is my conversations with this source that says they're the Elohim, and I ask them questions, and they answer me, and they give their take on how things work. It's very interesting. Many people just read the book and gotten triggered by reading it. And they've said their energy is in their words. And if that's true, reading the book, of course, half the book is their words. So it gives you an opportunity to tap into their energy. So our topic tonight is crop circles. And I thank Daniel Davis for sending me a YouTube, and which I actually took the time to watch. And I decided it was going to be a good topic. And during the course of this call, we're going to learn stuff that perhaps no one else knows about the origins of crop circles, because we have access to this unusual sources of information that I'm sure they know. Now, they may not want to tell us. I didn't do a dress rehearsal and say to them, are you guys willing to talk about this? Well, if they don't, we'll have to change the subject. But I think they will. And if you're not aware of what crop circles are, you can certainly do a Google search on it. But mainly in England, there have been these very unusual designs that would appear overnight in fields. And the designs are geometrical. The designs I'm looking at some pictures here. Yeah, I'll read a little bit about crop circles just to set the stage. Crop circles come in many different shapes. The most basic is a signal circle. Circles may also come in sets of 2, 3, and 4. The stalks inside a crop circle are typically bent into what is known as a swirl pattern. I should mention that crop circles are usually pretty big, sometimes hundreds of feet across, and they appear overnight. The stalks inside of a crop circle are typically bent into what is known as a swirl pattern, and the circles may spin clockwise or counterclockwise. In patterns with several circles, one circle may spin clockwise and another counterclockwise. Crop circles can range in size from a few inches to a few hundred feet across. Many early crop circles were simple circular designs, but after 1990, they became more elaborate. More complex crop patterns called pictograms emerged. Crops can be made to look just like about anything, smiling faces, flowers, or even words. Sometimes they have unique designs, but they can also be based on ancient motifs. Some of the more sophisticated patterns are based on mathematical equations. Astronomer and former Boston University professor Gerald Hawkins studied crop circles and found that the positions of the circles, triangles, and other shapes were based on specific numerical relationships. In one crop circle that had an outer and inner circle, the area of the outer circle was exactly 4 times that of the inner circle. And it goes on and on and on. But in any case, this has been a tremendous mystery. And it's very rarely in the news. Nonetheless, what is causing these crop circles? Where do they come from? Why people have speculated about this for years. And many people think that it's ETs and flying saucers that are communicating with us. And when I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, if you have that book, you'll notice on the back of the book is a picture of a crop circle. And in that crop circle, it's the design of the winged bird that represented Ra in Egypt. Seattleing at that time, and we asked about it. I can't remember. I think it was through Terry. And I said, who's making the crop circles? And they said, by and large, the Rod Group. And, of course, the Rod Group is the group I was talking about earlier. It's composed of beings that graduated this realm, got off the wheel of reincarnation. And they're a huge group. It's hard to imagine how they are. I mean, I asked questions about it, and they said they were like a template of energy spread through the solar system and the universe. So in other words, they were part of the energetic flow, and they have the ability to work as a team and talk to people down here, and they have the abilities to do other things as well. And I don't know all the limitations and the extent of what they can do or not do, and I don't know all the limitations of what the audience can do or not do, but we know that they most definitely can do things that couldn't be done by the normal laws of the physical universe. For example, the Rod Group can disable weapons from going off. And I think maybe, I don't know if the Elohim can do that. Maybe they could, but they don't, because it's in the hands of the Rod Group. And one of their criteria, both groups, is they honor free will. So they don't intrude on our evolution unless we ask them. Now, most people, if they knew that such groups really existed, they'd be asking. But most people don't know they exist. And it's okay if you just ask God, that'll end up going into their realm, and they can answer that, I believe. But most people aren't even sure that there's something called God. So part of the work we're doing is convincing people they exist so that if you ask for something, that there really is someone up there that can answer and help. But they don't like to be thought of as God. You can see how easily the idea of God came about, because you have this invisible source that honors free will and has their criteria that you must ask for something to happen. And that easily could turn into giving up your power and into some nameless, faceless mystery that we call God. And that's okay, because the idea of God in the traditional sense may not be the most accurate visualization, but it's close enough so that it works. They have described something that's called the one infinite creator, or maybe the first cause, the initial cause, and the Elohim, or breakaways, from the one infinite creator. And we've already had many calls talking about that, so we're not going to go into it again today. Today's topic is the crop circles. And what provoked me to pick this topic for tonight is this video that Daniel sent me. And in the video, and I sent the link out today, I suggest you look at it. There was some kind of signal that was sent into space some years ago with the idea of seeing if there was any intelligence out there that would answer that signal. And I guess it was a radio signal of some sort. And years later, there was a crop circle that seemingly answered signal. there was a coded kind of pictograph on the signal they were sending out. And this crop circle appeared, and it had the same pictograph on it. And there was adjoining to this pictograph, there was the face of a gray. And shortly thereafter, there was another crop circle with another face of a gray, and there was something that they were able to translate. Now, I don't know how they translated this. I haven't studied it. I'm not an expert on crop circles. Now, there's a lady I do know who is an expert. Maybe I'll have her on the show sometime. But the picture had a gray. You know what a gray is? That's like an alien that looks like one of Steven Spielberg's aliens from Close Encounters or from E.T., those guys with big eyes and rounded heads. Now, we've had a lot of experience studying grays and asking some questions about grays. And according to our information, Terry's and mine and different sources I cross-referenced, the grays were a dying race. And somehow they got radioactive on their home planet, and it affected their genes and their ability to reproduce. And so they have been reproducing themselves by cloning. And the clones were getting weak, and they were going to die out as a race if they didn't figure out some way to fix this. So for some period of time, they have been doing hybrids with humans. And when you hear about abductions, it's usually one source of abductions, and I know abductions are real. One source of abductions is the grays who are doing hybrids and creating hybrid babies with the idea of incarnating into them, and so their race doesn't die. So now there's a picture of a gray in a crop circle with a message sent out to space. And I may not have this exactly right, but there's another picture of a gray with a message coming back. And there was some way they translated this, and it says, beware of those that, I really should read this directly, but I'm going to paraphrase it. Beware of those that seem to come to help you because they have an agenda. Now,
I can read it exactly here. I have it up.
Yeah, what does it say?
Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. There is good out there. We oppose deception, conduit, clothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, there's that message next to a picture of a prey. Now, we know there's a lot of evidence to this. Now, I'm going to run another ET workshop, and if you haven't heard that, you should participate next time I run it, because I'll give all the details. But according to our understanding, and I am sure this is true, this gray ET race made a bargain with our government in the 40s, I believe. And in that bargain, they were going to give technological advances for permission to abduct people. And our government made the deal. And so many of the high-tech technological advances we have right now are part of that deal. But there's something wrong with the agenda, because the Grays didn't keep their end of the bargain, and they were supposed to report there was supposed to be a limitation on how many they abducted, and et cetera, et cetera. And so there's an agenda on their part, I believe, to take over our planet. And that there's beings above them that control them that are part of it. And this crop circle is a warning to say, don't believe those who bring gifts. And there's still time. And that's why I'm talking about this. I don't like to talk about this stuff because for many people, they're hearing it for the first time. And number one, it could be scary. And number two, they might be thinking I'm wackier than I was. And so I have to take the risk of people thinking that. But if you explore these things, there's a lot of stuff on the Internet backing it up. And the thing about it is, you don't want to become preoccupied with it, but you want to know enough about it so you have some discernment. For example, one of the things I've read is that there is one agenda of the negative to bring the planet into such a state of desperation that there would be a spaceship landing. But those ships that land are going to look like they're positive, but they're not going to be positive. And everyone will have to set everything up so that there's a predisposition to welcome them as positive and as our ET saviors. And so if this is something, if there's any remote truth to that, you're going to want to do your own study and see about that. Because one day, you may have to make a decision, and you're going to need this kind of information to make that decision. So, on this crop circle, there was a definite warning to humanity about that. But most people would never figure it out. And a lot of people are still thinking ETs are positive. So that's one of the reasons I chose this topic today, because it's very possible that particular crop circle was made by the Ra Group. So we're going to, without further ado, do a little protective invocation. And we're going to ask our sources about crop circles in general, what we can learn from them, how they make them, who's making them, are any of them being made by the negative? We do know occasionally some are made by humans. I don't think the humans can do as good a job, but we've caught humans running around in fields trying to chop down weeds and make something. But I don't think that's, if you look up crop circles and you look at some of the pictures, you'll see they're far too complex for even a few humans to make in a single evening. Okay, so we're going to call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And we wait right now for the identification of our sources.
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is the 16th of April, 2012. We are mindful of the topic that you have chosen tonight. And we see that there are alien beings that have joined us and are observing us tonight in this call. And these alien beings have been having an extremely hard time and have been seeking to make inroads into the siphoning off of the resources of the planet Earth and the furthering of their race and their children, and they consider their life is dependent upon the resources. And they have grief in that they are fearful that they may not be able to survive. And they have shame in that they have not been able to perpetuate their race in a manner that is so desirous, and they have grief, and that they are backed up against the wall, and this is the heart and root of some of the agendas that they are seeking to surreptitiously or otherwise to infiltrate and bring to pass. They seek the survival of their children, and they seek the survival of their race, and they feel that they need the race of humans to bring sustenance and strength and new genes into their race. Their actions at some level are a plea for help. Those are comments.
Are we in a safe zone talking about this on this call tonight?
It depends upon your point of view, whether you are in a safe zone. We have entered into the conversation from a safe aspect.
Yes.
We do not wish to discuss safety any longer.
Okay. Well, anyone who's listening in...
It makes them very nervous. We take a look at the heart of their problem, and we send them love light.
It's my understanding...
May I ask a question, man?
No. About this?
Yes.
We wish to hear this question.
Okay, go ahead. I've been overridden.
May I ask, if we love our enemy like our friend, can there be a peaceful resolution if we as a group of humans work together on this?
they are desperate and seeking help. And they have very hard road to call. And we see that loving your enemy like your friend, if it is done right, considering that they are backed against the wall, that you need awareness in how to deal with them, and in seeing their vibrations and you need to approach them with the knowledge that they are backed against the wall, and as one of the species of humans, alien humans, they have the flight, fight, or response. They have been backed into a corner by their genetic decline and are valiantly seeking to reestablish their strength.
If they were to have asked the Elohim and Ra group for help, were there possibilities of solutions that may not have been obvious to them?
To some degree, the emotions have been read out, and they have become technological, taken the technology route and found solace in the technology route and not thinking of the emotion of connection. Yet they feel the grief of the loss of grip upon the future of their race and feel the solution is to create new genes, new, more, better DNA. They are very intelligent, and they have had the emotions to some degree bred out of them, and they have seeked to survive with technology and smarts, and they desperately need emotion and caring, as their bodies do not hold that. Their bodies have been programmed to be the sharpest and smartest, and to override emotion, yet they feel the emotion of loss, and they, around the edges, are hoping to reestablish this connection, this ability to feel and they can intellectually know that they, their bodies have lost the holding of that to a large degree. But as spirits, they can still feel it.
If compassion is extended towards them, can they feel that compassion?
They as spirits can. Their bodies, it has been brought out to totally resonate with that. They totally resonate with the achievements of technology. And if you enter by that door, they do feel success and affinity for this type of thing. And they do feel achievement. Over many of the years, they have lost their DNA, their programming of their bodies, have lost the ability for deep connection. And their bodies have been programmed to shut it out and to move towards technology.
So I'm going to move
there
back.
There has been, in their past, a perceived weakness with feeling of emotion and a perceived strength in and mastery in proceeding without emotion, as if this would handle the human aspect of their life. We include them in humans in a way, although they do have this other aspect which separates them from the human race, as well as looks and the makeup of their body. They have inclined more towards inanimate silicon in their body, which does not pick up and resonate the emotions as the human DNA does, as they have been bred to take this silicon base and to weave the fabric of their body matrix with that, which then they cannot resonate within the human emotional way.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. Would this information is not generally known to all the a few people. Only a few people have realized what it is that is different. And why the grays cannot feel emotion. It is their body makeup that has been honed over millions of years to breed out emotion, which they feel is weakness. Although, as spirits, they do feel the
did I understand that a silicon-based, they have a silicon-based system and we have a carbon-based system. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say that they were breeding out emotions, did they choose to do that as a race, or was that done to them by other genetic scientists?
There were several genetic scientists within the race, and they were trying to make the best race possible. And there was a consideration within the race that it was wrong to have grief and to cry and to have caring. It was an attempt to survive by being more macho, more attempt to get along with the third density, and to go along with its pain, meaning its suffering. And they have tried very, very hard to overcome pain and suffering through developing the silicon-based system. And so the individual bodies can be more macho, can be more survivable, in that they can weather the tumultuous turns in fate by living in the third density better by having a silicon-based body.
Who made the crop circle that we have been referring to at the beginning of this talk?
The crop circles are made generally by us as well. And we bring information to you in the crop circle.
Now, I hope BBS isn't going to cut us off. They haven't had a show after us. I'd like to continue this conversation a bit. If we get cut off, then we'll continue it next week, but we'll try to go a little longer. How does the rock group make crop circles?
It is with electrical interaction with the plants, with electrical density manipulation of the straw, density manipulation with imaging the straw and less density in some parts and more density in the other, which causes it to curl in various ways in which we have determined to make the message imprint on the straw.
How long does it take in Earth time to complete one of these complex crop circles?
It can be done in layers. It takes a few hours.
And it's not done through spaceships or anything like that. It's done through energetic interface with the plants directly from the raw group. Correct?
We are being watched as we do this show, and your answer is correct, but we are in we are attracting we are attracting too much attention on this show right now.
Mm-hmm.
We wish to
bring it to a close. All right. I would like to ask that right at this moment, we take the information that we've learned on this show, and we're going to create a new moment, a brand new moment, right at this moment, where we bring in the highest realms of light, projecting through the realms, through all of us, and into the earth, and rebirth this moment into a new moment, and that all of you do that and clear the space right now and establish that connection. Take a moment and bring in the energy from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the planets, through the earth, through our bodies, and into the earth. And we send love and compassion to ourselves and all beings that are in the universe that are open to receiving these energies. Take a moment and hold the silence. And we bring this show to a close. Thank you all for listening. And we'll see you Wednesday when you ask questions. But I don't think we're going to take any questions on this topic for obvious reasons. Over and out. This is Winfried Terry Brown on our Monday night conference call.